It is good to be with you this morning. It's good to see everyone. Hope that you can make it back tonight at 5:30 for our evening service. It'll be a little different tonight because the sun will be up for the whole service probably. So it'll be good to see everyone tonight. Go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. Now I know it's just an hour, but it's an hour of sleep we lost. And it feels a little weird this morning, doesn't it? So I'm going to ask you, don't try to make that hour up here in the next few minutes. Give me a couple minutes. Hopefully I'll make it worth your while. 1 Kings chapter 12. You know, has there ever been a piece of advice that you wish you would have listened to? You ever think back and think, man, I wish I would have done that. You're looking back, there's usually something. There's usually something. Now, for some of us who like to give out advice, there's been plenty of times where people didn't heed our advice, right? But there's always something. And it's important who we listen to and whose advice we consider. And that's even more so, maybe, when it comes to our spiritual lives. It's even more so when it comes to how we make our decisions and how we do things in life. Who we listen to. Whose counsel we take. Whose influence we admire. Those things are very important. 1 Kings chapter 12. You have the situation here where Solomon has died. His son, Rehoboam, has taken the throne. Now, he has an opportunity here to make a good decision, or at least consider different pieces of advice. And so what we see here in verse 1, it says, Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to make him king. As soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was still in Egypt where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt, and they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. All right, so we remember one of the things that marks Solomon's kingdom was he built a lot of stuff, right? He built a lot. He built the temple. He built a massive palace. The people were busy, all right? They had a lot to do. And now that he is gone, the people and Jeroboam come to Rehoboam and say, why don't you lighten our load? You know, your father made us work hard and the yoke was very heavy. Why don't you take that back just a little bit? And so he tells them there in verse 5 that go away for 3 days and then come again. Essentially, give me 3 days and I'll tell you the answer. Now, here's where advice and counsel comes into play. Verse 6, it says, then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon, his father, while he was yet alive, saying, how do you advise me to answer the people? And they said to him, if you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them, when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever. The old men, essentially the ones that were with Solomon, basically say to him, why don't you lighten their load? Why don't you listen to them? Why don't you work with them? And they will serve you. They will be good servants for you. And so their advice, their counsel here, was to listen to the people. But as we see in the next verse, verse 8, it says, but he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, what do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, lighten the yoke that your father put on us. And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, thus shall you speak to this people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So he goes to his own contemporaries, his friends, and he asks them, what do I say to the people? They asked me to lighten their load. What should I say to them? And the response of the young men was to be very forceful with them, to demand respect in a sense, to go farther. And they come up with this idea that my finger is thicker than my father's thighs. My hand is heavier. I'm stronger. I'm better. And your yoke will be heavier. And then they say, your father disciplined with whips, but you discipline with scorpions. And so the answer would have been very harsh to the people. And so he has a choice to make. He abandoned the counsel of the old men, and he went with the counsel of the young men. And so they come back to him. In verse 15, it says, so the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord spoke by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now, God had predicted what was going to happen here. But what does happen here is that verse 16, when all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. They went home. They stopped. They did not respect Rehoboam. And as a result of this, what comes from this is you have a kingdom that divides. Ultimately, you have a kingdom that divides. Rehoboam had a shot. He had a chance to unify the kingdom, to keep it together. But he chose the wrong counsel. He listened to the wrong advice. And as a result, his kingdom will always be remembered as the one that split. Now, as we think of this story, we think of how especially true it is when thinking about our spiritual lives, it's important who we listen to. That automatically points us to Jesus. How do we listen to Jesus? What do we do with His words? What do we do with His gospel? What do we do with the Bible? And what it means and what it says and how it asks us to live. You see, Jesus dealt with some of the same things here that the people dealt with Rehoboam. There were those who did not seek His counsel. They did not want to hear His words. Turn over to John chapter 6. Turn over to John chapter 6 for a moment. In John chapter 6, at the beginning of the chapter, we have Jesus being followed by great crowds. And in the midst of John chapter 6, you have Jesus feeding the 5,000. Ultimately, Jesus walks on the water. And the crowd, when they get up the next day, they want to know where Jesus is. They want to find Him. And so, verse 22 says, on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there. And that Jesus had not entered the boat with His disciples, but His disciples had gone away alone. So they realized that the boat was gone, but they didn't see Jesus get in the boat, but He's not here. So they try to find Him. 25, when they found Him, they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? In other words, how did you get here? And so He begins to talk to them about why they're following Him. And ultimately, verse 28, it says, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. So they said to Him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? Now, why are they following Him? Why are they following Him to begin with? Because they ate. Because they saw a sign. And because they were following Him, verse 2 says, because they saw the signs He was doing. And yet they asked for another sign. Jesus, show us something else to prove that we should believe in You. Show us one more thing. And so then they begin to talk about the manna that their fathers ate in the wilderness. We remember how that God fed the children on the Exodus, how He fed them. And so they were like, that's a sign. That showed that He was God. What are You going to do? What are You going to show us? And so He says there in verse 32, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to Him, sir, give us this bread always. So Jesus is teaching them. He's instructing them. He's giving them counsel on what they need. They begin to talk about bread. They talk about the manna that fed the children. And so Jesus begins to talk about bread from heaven. And they ask for this bread, which leads Jesus to then make this statement. Verse 35. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst. Jesus then calls Himself the bread of life. He is that bread that came down from heaven that gives life to the world. And so Jesus begins to teach. He begins to teach them about things that are to come. He begins to give them counsel about things that will be. He is a prophet. All right, so if I just turn this thing off, can y'all hear me? Because this is driving me crazy. I don't know why it's ringing so much today. So I'm going to set it off to the side. For now. I don't know what happened. Larry's been messing with it. All right, so Jesus is talking about this bread that came out of heaven. He's talking about, ultimately, He's going to talk about the Lord's Supper. Ultimately, He's going to point to the Lord's Supper. And that's going to have a lot to do with who He is and what He will do, which is give His life for us all. And so ultimately, He's going to get to that point. If you look at verse 47, He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is My flesh. So now it gets interesting. Jesus already called Himself the bread of life. He is the bread that came down from heaven. Again, He comes back and says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna, but I am the bread of life. And then He says, talks about eating His flesh. Now, you and I, we understand this. We see this from a totally different perspective than they do. So we know what it means. We saw the Lord's Supper instituted. We know what we're talking about. But you remember, this great crowd flocked to Him because of the signs that they saw Him do. But now He's giving them counsel. He's talking to them. And all of a sudden, things change. Things begin to change. And so here's their response to what Jesus is saying. All right, so go back to verse 41. This is after Jesus says, I am the bread of life. They say in verse 41, so the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? They begin to grumble among themselves. Isn't this Jesus? Don't we know who he is? Don't we know his family? This is the same guy. They all showed up because he could do miraculous things. But now they're like, I don't like what he says. I'm not crazy about this counsel he's given us. And so all of a sudden, isn't that Joseph's son? Don't we know him? But why are they here? They're here to see him. They're here because of what he can do. But now he starts teaching, and all of a sudden, I'm not so crazy about this anymore. Right, look at verse 52. It's after Jesus says, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Are they listening? Are they seeking the counsel of Jesus? Are they seeking to learn from him? Are they seeking to find what he's trying to teach them? They've already grumbled once. Now they're grumbling again. Now, mind you, if your only thought is, how am I going to eat his flesh? If that's the only way you're seeing this, then you're missing what Jesus is trying to teach. And so they begin to grumble. Again, look at verse 60. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? As long as he was healing people, we like Jesus. As long as he was feeding us with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, we like Jesus. But he begins to teach. He begins to give counsel, to talk about what's to come. We don't like that as much. Who can listen to this? And then verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. What did it take to go from disciple to someone who wants nothing to do with Jesus? From follower to a denier. What did it take? It was Jesus' words, wasn't it? It was his counsel. It's what he was saying. As long as he healed people, they liked it. As long as he showed off for them in their minds, they wanted to be around him. But when he started teaching, when he started pointing to the future, they no longer wanted any part of Jesus. And they stopped following him. Which leads Jesus then to turn to the 12, verse 67, and say, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter said, you have the words of life. Peter saw this differently. Obviously, Peter was a little more invested. But he said something I think that's important for us even today. Jesus has the words of life. Now, if you go back to Rehoboam, you go back to those Jews, they rejected good counsel. They rejected words that would lead them to a better understanding and a better place. They rejected those words. How do we deal with Jesus today? How do we deal with his words today? The question for us is, do we believe Jesus has the words of life? Whose counsel do we listen to? Who has influence over decisions that we make? Who do we consider wise? It's an important question to ask in the midst of the world we live. There's a lot of alternatives to believe in our society. There's a lot of advice being doled out on a daily basis about what we should believe and what we should do and how we should look at things. But who do we listen to? Whose advice are we going to take? Who are we going to live for? Jesus has the words of life. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Everything we need for life and godliness, Christ has granted to us. He teaches it to us. He shows us in His Word what He wants from us and how to live for Him. And what's in store for those who do live for Him. Whose counsel are we listening to? Are we where we need to be with Christ? Is our life the way it should be? Are we as connected to Him as we would like to be? Is there anything we wish we did differently? Is there any of Christ's words, any of His advice, any of the things that He's asked of us that we wish we would be better at? Is there anything? Is there anything that we could do to improve ourselves spiritually? We know where to go. We know who to listen to. And there's going to be advice after advice after advice in the world that says, don't do that. Don't go to church. Don't read your Bible. Don't connect with God. Over and over, the world will tell us it's not important. But who has the words of life? Who has the words that give us meaning, give us purpose, that bring peace and happiness to our souls? Who has those words? Christ has those words. May we do our best to give our counsel, to give our ears to His counsel, to listen to His advice, and to do what He asks, to live for Him. And not be like the Jews, not be like Rehoboam. Today we have an opportunity. An opportunity to hear the words of Jesus and respond to those words. Maybe here today and you've never obeyed the gospel. I want to encourage you to do that. If you've heard the message, believe it. Repent of your sins, confess that He is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism. Having your sins washed away. The message of Jesus points us to heaven. It points us to being sin-free. It points us to being justified. If we'll heed those words. Perhaps you're here today and you want to reconnect with God. You want to renew your strength. To get rid of some things in your life that don't need to be there. To hear the advice, to give counsel, to hear the counsel of Jesus, and give Him your life. If you need the prayers at the church today, we'd be glad to pray with you and for you. If you have a need today, won't you come as we stand and sing?